This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, hello New Zealand, and welcome back to Turn the Page. It's been, nearly a month since I've been on here. I've been overseas to America on a holiday, had a great time, came back fine, didn't have any issues getting through the customs, as some people may have thought I would. Obviously, I've been back more than a week. Last Monday was a holiday, so obviously I couldn't do it. And then, of course, Friday was a holiday. Thinking, well, you got plenty of time to recover coming back. Actually, I've been frantically working on a certain documentary film that is going to be debuting on the 24th of May at 4:15 p.m. at the Regent Theatre. That'll be confirmed very shortly, and we can let you know where to get tickets to come and check out my first foray into documentary filmmaking. I've got a couple of stories for you today. I thought, well, instead of just reading stories and stuff, I thought the first little bit, I'll regale you a little bit with some of what happened when I went overseas. I actually did take my B camera with me, and I filmed a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to make some humorous, educational travel videos to show you guys. And I'll put them on pause while I finish the main doco. But once they're out, you can have a watch and you can get all the details and see all the things I did wrong and all the experiences I had. It was very educational. So I left, it was the 25th, I believe, of March. Left, flew from Wellington to Auckland, then waited around, then hopped on a plane for 12 hours and 5 minutes to fly from Auckland to Los Angeles. That's a long flight. And I was sitting in the aisle. I thought, well, that's great. If you have to get up and use the bathroom or something, you don't have to tell the person next to you, can you please move, especially if they're asleep. Unfortunately, also in the aisle, and I'm not a big guy, I don't think I sprawl much, but I managed to get clocked by every person that went past me, including the trolley that has all the refreshments and things on it. So for 12 hours, I got no sleep. It was pretty bad. But yeah, arrived in Los Angeles. It's a long walk. You get off the plane and then you walk for seemingly forever to get to the customs guy. But he was really, really cool, super friendly, got through really quick, no problems whatsoever. They check your passport, they take your fingerprints, and off you go. It was absolutely fine. There was no issues whatsoever. I did get pulled up. Here, people don't think much. They go, oh, you're just a Kiwi. But over there, because I'm slightly darker, they thought I was Hispanic or Spanish. So this guy, he comes up and he starts talking to me in Spanish. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry. So that was interesting. You're not New Zealand anymore. I did actually learn the "lo siento, no hablo español." So you know, when people ask me again, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. But did that eventually. You know, got to the hotel quick. Slept for 17 hours. Definitely needed that, and then hung around Los Angeles for 5 days. We saw a few things, went to Universal. That's awesome. Go to the Harry Potter world. It is really cool. Went to Disneyland. You know, the happiest place on earth. No, there were a lot of miserable people there. Not everybody was smiling. And we were there for 6 or 7 hours. I didn't see Mickey Mouse once. That's a bit weird, isn't it? Although I did meet R2-D2, so that more than made up for it. Went on a few rides all up. I think I went on 4 roller coasters between the two of them. They're pretty good over there. The food is all right. Food's all right. I did have the best Mexican food that I've ever had in Los Angeles in our second hotel. That was amazing. It was so good. It was fresh. It wasn't franchised. Don't do franchise. Go find the smaller places. So that was really cool. Then we went across to Vegas. So we flew to Vegas, stayed in the Luxor, got to spend the night, a couple of nights in a pyramid. That was quite fun. Now, Vegas, everything there is designed to get your money off you. Everything. It's terrifying how much money I spent there. And the simple things. You know, a can of beer. Oh, yep, that's fine. It was $16. And the exchange rate is almost 2-1. So do the math. That's a very expensive can of beer. But I did want my can of beer, so I did get it. I thought, oh, we're only here once. But yeah, things there were really pricey. Looking up, we're going around where the casino was, and you could see the credit amounts of how much people have put into these machines, these slot machines, these digital slot machines. It's terrifying. I mean, I fed in a $1 note, I got one spin, and I lost. Yeah, it's $2 when the second's gone. played a little bit more, did actually win. I think I bet $10 down, won, I think it was $31 American back, and thought, that's me. I walked away. When you actually add in all the other stuff that we spend, it was still in the red. But to win something like that, I was like, that's me, I'm done. I've won a little bit on the slots. That's cool. Didn't do blackjack, didn't do any other stuff. Did check out the Blue Man Group. That is awesome. If you ever get a chance to see the Blue Man Group, go and see the Blue Man Group. It is really, really entertaining. Those guys are super talented. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I'd say, where do I sign up? But I'm not that talented, but it was brilliant. From Vegas, then went out to Arizona to check out the Grand Canyon, which is, that was really quite cool. It's a couple of hours drive. Now, in Arizona, it's very dry. They actually do have cactuses. You can see cacti all around the place. It was quite an experience. If you've played Fallout New Vegas, it's very, very similar. That's what it all looks like. Except when we went there, it snowed. We could see this white stuff. Like, that's not snow, is it? That is snow. Okay. Got to the Grand Canyon, and we did the touristy things and went out on the little skywalk, got some photos taken and everything, and the snow was starting to come in. Then by the time we finished and we were leaving, it had really come in big time, and this mist had come down. So unfortunately for the next tour group, so when we went there, you know, you look over and you can see this big cavern of the Grand Canyon and you can see how deep it is, and it was really quite something to see. But this next group, when they came here, instead of seeing, you know, this big deep canyon, they just saw this sort of rocky bit, the fence, and then this white mist. The Grand Canyon had disappeared. I felt so sorry for them because it's quite a trek to get out there. But it was I mean, I had fun. Check that out. Then across to New York. Now, New York was different. I liked a lot of aspects about L.A. The Walk of Fame was a bit, that got a bit weird. There's a lot of peddlers and homeless people, and some of them even park their trolleys over the top of the stars. So you're like, oh, where am I going to find this celeb? You know, it might be buried underneath someone's cart that they're selling all kinds of junk on. So that was a bit strange. But yeah, New York, it was interesting. We stayed in a hotel near the Bronx. That was very educational. There was sort of graffiti and stuff and rubbish, and I will spare some of the other details. Like I said, I'm going to make some videos. I'm not going to say the stuff on the air, but I can say it on videos and put it on YouTube. So if you want to know more about the nitty-gritty of what it was like in New York, check that out. Went to Central Park. That was interesting. It's massive. I saw a little corner of it. Had a corn dog. Had to get a corn dog and a hot dog. Separate things. I tried one of each. Didn't get sick, so I'm thrilled to bits about that. Went and checked out a show. We saw The Lion King. That was very cool. That was definitely the highlight of New York. That was really, really awesome. Also went to the USS Intrepid, which is the aircraft carrier that they preserved. They had a submarine there. Also saw the Enterprise, the space shuttle. That was really neat. Stayed there. I think I remember we stayed with four days. It all seems to blur now. Then we came to Hawaii, and this was my highlight. I loved Hawaii. It was awesome. You know, the other places were pretty cool, but you get into Hawaii, it's like, yeah, this is nice and warm. You know, this is me. I like this. The temperature is better. Although it was a bit of a shock to the system when you walk out of a nice air-conditioned airport and then into the heat of Hawaii. It was a bit of a shock, but I quite liked it. You know, the hotel was really nice. The surrounding, we stayed in Waikiki, which is a bit of a tourist trap. So if you go there, have your wits about you. Don't immediately go into the first souvenir shop that you find and start buying stuff. Hunt around. I found a really good souvenir shop run by a couple of lovely ladies, and they had stuff at very reasonable prices. You know, you could buy postcards for a couple of dollars. Yeah, it was. I bought one of those resin tikis that represented wisdom for, I think, about $10 or $15. So that was really good. So I bought a few things there, some for the family and friends, fridge magnets, you know, the usual tourist stuff. The highlight for Hawaii for me was going to Pearl Harbor. I've read about it and studied it for literally decades now, but to actually go there where it all happened, that was an incredibly moving experience. And went across to the USS Arizona. I did film some stuff there that I'll share and use. That was a really moving place, and I'm very glad that I went there. I also brought a couple of copies of my book about the Marines that were in Marston, and I thought, oh, see if we can donate, see if someone wants them over there, you know, not expecting, you know, it to go ahead, because there's all sorts of bureaucracy and levels and things you've got to go through, and I thought, well, I might just end up bringing them back with me. And I went and asked someone and said, you know, this is who I am, this is what I've done, you know, can I donate these books? And they said, oh, you need to go and talk to that guy over there. And I did, and he was the superintendent of the entire facility. You know, he was the boss of the whole Pearl Harbor Memorial. And he was super supportive, you know, really interested. And he's like, can I come with you now? Can we go and get them? Because you've got to check your bag when you go into Pearl Harbor. You can't just walk around with a bag. You have to check it. So we went over there. I got them out and I gave them to him. And, yeah, he was brilliant. And we exchanged cards. We've been in touch since and everything. So copies of the book about the Marines of Marston is actually in the library in Pearl Harbor now, which is brilliant. So we stayed in Hawaii for about 5 nights. I tried native food as much as I could. There's a place called Poi Bowl, and there was one, it was squid with taro, and it was kalua pig. It was brilliant. I mean, I'm not going to go over there and just have McDonald's or something. I was like, no, let's live it up. So I tried some of this stuff, and yeah, you've got to try Hawaiian food. It's really, really good. Absolutely loved it. And then it was, I think, a 9-hour flight home, which was fun because there were two very, very young children on board, and one or both of them were pretty much crying the entire trip. So that, again, no sleep. Again, come back to Auckland and then fly down to Wellington. There was some issues with the plane. They had issues trying to do the check-in. They ended up doing it manually, like literally writing out what your ticket is, where you're going. Then we had to wait for someone to arrive. I mean, but we got home to Auckland, and then there were more delays and everything. And then they said, well, maybe, you know, the weather's a bit dodgy. You might not be able to get to. You might not be able to get home to Wellington. But you know, things subsided. The flying was interesting. The 12-hour flight from Auckland to Los Angeles, for 4 hours of that, the seatbelt sight was on because we had turbulence. And that was interesting. And of course, as soon as the light goes out when people are awake, there's a mass exodus. Everyone has to use the restroom. Sorry, bathroom, I'm still in American mode. So there's this big line of people waiting to use the bathroom, and it's an experience trying to use the bathroom in turbulence. There's stories about that, but I will not go there. So it was overall, I quite enjoyed it. Like I said, I filmed a ton of stuff. I'm going to make a collection of videos, little travel videos about the things I experienced and things, and also some tips. So if you want to go to America, learn from my mistakes, because I made a few. But I won't spoil it here. I'll wait till it's done. But like I said, I'm not going to be working. I haven't worked on them yet. I have a documentary film to finish. Now, this has a date now. It's penciled in, but it's probably most likely confirmed to the 24th of May, which is a Saturday at 4, and I said it before, I think it's 4:15 p.m. So, you know, we'll be letting you know how to get tickets and everything for that. Please come along and watch my film. I've been frantically working on it these last few days. I'm nearly halfway through all the editing. It's the editing, actually, I'm quite enjoying. It's not as tricky as I thought it would be. The filming was harder, and structuring it was harder. But I've made it in my head so many times when it comes to editing, I know where everything's going to go. So that's coming out, and it's less than a month now, isn't it? But that's going to be fun. So, right, that's a very quick account of my trip overseas. I had a great time, had no issues, and I came back safe. I'm okay. So I'm going to play a piece of music that I played on the plane in my failed attempt to try and sleep on the way from Auckland to Los Angeles. I thought, well, I'll just play one song on repeat. And, you know, it becomes familiar, it puts you into the background, and you can fall asleep listening to this. Unfortunately, it did not account for the people walking past and bumping into me and all the other issues and things that went on. So this is the song that I listened to 20 or 30 times while I was flying to Los Angeles. This is Richard Marx, and the song is Hazard. Oh, 9:19. How long did I talk for about my holiday? I was like, we'll talk for 5 minutes, play a song, and then do two stories, 5 minutes each, another song, and that's half an hour. I may have to go slightly longer today. That's all right. So we're back to stories now. Stories that I've written, not more American travel stories, they come later. In the 1960s, the space race was in full swing, and interest was high. On May 5th, 1961, Alan Shepard became the first American in space. It wasn't the first human there. That honour went to Soviet Yuri Gagarin a few weeks earlier. The following year, John Glenn performed the first American orbits of Earth. Space exploration ambitions continued to expand, decidedly so under President Kennedy, who made his famous speech in which he declared America's interest in going to the moon, not wanting to do it because it is easy, but because it is hard. With a goal in mind, a new program would have been created, which would be the Apollo. The previous space capsule Gemini could only carry one astronaut. To get to the moon would require more crew, and Apollo could carry three. The public would need to be on board for this to work out well, and the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, made sure to keep the publicity up and maintain interest in space exploration. Aside from reality, there are also several television shows involved in space exploration. Men into Space premiered in 1959. By the mid-1960s, this was joined by Thunderbirds, which had its main headquarters, Thunderbird 5, as a space station orbiting Earth. Lost in Space took this further and followed the Robinsons as they navigated the perils of being so far from home. With television shows, news features and books on space exploration, kids in the 1960s became very interested in what lay beyond our atmospheres. The United States knew this and acted upon it. Creating 30 sets of models of NASA spacecraft, these were then sent around the world as part of the administration's education program. In March of 1965, it was our turn to learn all about the American space program and see models of some of the craft that was going to propel the United States into space. The New Zealand Department of Education had taken on responsibility for the loan of the models, called Spacemobile. The collection of craft would travel around the country to high schools and colleges. Kuranui College got the chance to see it all on March 8th, when they could see models of Apollo, Surveyor, Ranger, Gemini, Echo, Nimbus, SynCom and other launch vehicles and rockets. The Department of Education staff would have watched the kids like hawks as Spacemobile had a value of £3,000 at the time, the equivalent of over $150,000 today. Mr. F. Lucarelli from NASA was also accompanying the models to help with explaining some of the details, but the responsibility of the models' well-being was entirely with the Department of Education. If Kiwi kids got handsy and broke anything, it was the New Zealand government that would have to foot the bill. The show was a great success, and after Kuranui, Spacemobile visited Wairarapa College before moving on to Tararua College. In all, the tour of New Zealand would take 6 months. The Apollo model would be in 4 years' time on everyone's minds as it made the journey to our moon. Kids across New Zealand had a familiarity with the craft, having seen a model of it visit their school, at least those that paid attention in class. All right. Yeah, that was a much quicker story. That's cool. I'm now going to play another piece of music. Now, I played this one on a different flight. I think I played this one on the flight from, would have been Las Vegas to New York, which took, I think, 8 hours or 7 hours. I mean, these flights were long. And also, you know, flying in the economy because it's so much cheaper. Yeah, you try and be as comfortable as you can. I think I looked at the difference between flying regular and flying sort of slightly more business class. So you got more leg room, $3,000 extra. For a few hours of discomfort, I'd rather keep the $3,000. This is, and it's more of an appropriate song, this is Three Doors Down, featuring Bob Seger, doing Landing in London. So it's about flying around the world. Very appropriate.
I woke up today in London as the plane was touching down. All I could think about was Monday. Maybe I'd be back around. If this keeps me away much longer, I don't know what I would do. You've got to understand it's a hard life that I'm going through. And when the night falls in around me, I don't think I'll make it through. I'll use your light to guide the way. all I think about is you. The LA's getting kind of crazy, and New York's getting kind of cold. Keep my head from getting lazy. I just can't wait to get back home. And all these days I spend away. All I think about is you. Think about you.
And that was Landing in London by Three Doors Down. Again, I played that one a lot. Weirdly enough, I didn't actually watch a lot of movies or TV. They have a little screen in the seat in front of you, and you got tons of movies to choose from. I primarily just listen to music. Right, I'll read you one more story and then... Yeah, that's probably going to have to be me. I probably won't play another piece of music or I'll be here for a while. I don't want to eat into anyone else's time. So this is a story. It actually hasn't even come out in the paper yet, but I thought it's such a funny one. I'm gonna read it today. Special treat for you. Right. The Warrington estate in Biddeford housed more than just the Warrington family. There was also a large number of chickens living in the property. Les Warrington had a job as a rural delivery man for the New Zealand Post and would park his van at his house once he'd finished the run for the day. The yard was shared by the feathered creatures, and nothing was suspected there that there was possibly some foul play afoot. One July morning in 1992, Les got up and went out to his van and began the 40-kilometre journey to the post shop in Masterton. Little did he know that he was not alone. He had a passenger. Upon arriving in Marston, he came to a stop and headed inside. While the postwalkers went about their business, something stirred underneath the van. One of the family's chickens had hidden itself under the van and had clung on and miraculously survived the trip to Masterton. Now that the van had come to a stop, the chicken made her break for freedom. Hopping down from the axle of the van, the exhausted chicken made her way out from under the van and made a dash for freedom. Her independence was short-lived, however, when another postal worker spotted her and brought her inside. She was put into the bike shed for the night to keep her secure. Her fate would be decided in the morning when everyone returned to work. But when they came back to work, the bike shed was empty. Hennifer Aniston had escaped again. After a search, this clucky adventurer was found in the parking lot and brought inside once again. Les recognised her as one of his and marvelled at how she came to be so far from their home and the method of escape. And then something clicked for him. He originally had 14 birds on his property. Now he had just three. Some had been found outside the property by the side of the road, but others were never seen again. Maybe they hadn't been stolen, but had made similar dashes for freedom. A couple of weeks before the escape, Les was making a delivery to Te Ori Ori Marae when he saw a familiar animal beside his van. This bird had hidden herself inside the van. But this new escape attempt was something else. Les remained in awe about the whole escapade. Funny things have happened, but that's the first time this has happened. I'm still having difficulty believing. And I apologise for all the awful puns in there, but I could not stop myself. They are just, they were asking to be said. So yeah, that's pretty much me now for the day. It's 31. Can I play it? It's not a long piece of music, is it? I don't know. 4 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to play it. So again, in tribute to having been to Pearl Harbor and visiting the Arizona and the sort of profound effect it had on me, I'm going to play a piece of music from the Pearl Harbor soundtrack. I know some people rag on this movie. I thought it was okay. So I'm going to play it. It's called Brothers. It's a 4 minute piece. We'll play that and then I'll say my goodbyes and I'll let you get back to whatever else it was that you were doing. This is Hans Zimmer doing Brothers. Thank you. And that was Brothers from the Pearl Harbor soundtrack. I'm not going to, after doing that and talking about what I'm talking about, I'm not going to angle and joke. I don't think that's quite appropriate. But like I said, it was, if you ever get a chance to go there, it's a very moving experience. I did spend a bit of money in the gift shop, including I bought one of the Arizona flags. These are flags that they fly on December 7 each year, and they fly them at the Arizona between like 5 a.m. and lunchtime, and they sell those. And that's, I thought, well, that's the perfect thing that I would want from there. So I did have one of them, did buy one of them. Obviously, I'll never fly it. I'll build a case to put it in. But also bought the T-shirt, which I'm wearing today. But all the money, you know, supports the memorial, so it's a very important thing. That is me for today. Next week, we will be going back into our regular programming. No more banter about American holidays. Unless, of course, you want to hear more of that, let me know if you do. But I imagine you probably want to hear more historical stories rather than travel stories. That'll be a whole other show. So look after yourselves. We will catch up with you in a week. I think it's just a normal week today. I'm sure it is a week today. And of course, you know, over the weekend and everything, I'll be busy editing this film to get it ready for the 24th. There will be probably a couple of shows coming up, well, at least one probably, where I talk with the organizers and things with the film festival, where we talk about the film and what it's going to be like and how long it's going to be and that sort of thing. That'll be a separate show. It won't be this one. It'll be another one. So, you know, check the website, keep an eye on the paper and everything to see what's going on. Things are going to start to happen very, very soon. Okay, and have a great week. Look after yourselves, and I will see you in 7 days. See you then.